The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Beth Torak, and I'm from Minnesota, and I listen to the Mickey Milers Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 424 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and we have a full complement today, finally, after about 4 years. My co-host with me, one of my co-hosts, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I decided not to run this morning after running a lot this week. My everything below my neck was saying, you know, I think I need a little bit of a break. So I gave myself a break.
I decided not to run either.
Yeah.
Because I have a broken toe.
You have a broken toe.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
Good times. A little souvenir from my trip to England.
Speaking of good times, we have a very special celebrity on the show today.
No, first we have a shout out.
Oh, we have a shout out.
We have a shout out, okay. And this is real. I'm really, really excited to their these two are Mickey Milers, and it's Rich and Holly Aronheim. And they are expecting, and they revealed that they're expecting a boy, and they did it on Main Street USA. They had a little video where they pulled out of a bag some mouse ears that were baby blue, so they're expecting a little boy.
We met Rich and Holly a few years ago, yes. And they just took off with the running all over the place.
And they are very nice people.
Very nice
so
people.
So huge congratulations.
People. Yes.
That'll be the beginning of many fun Disney trips, I'm sure.
And speaking of fun, it's this next person's middle name.
What about your tip?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll give my tip after I introduce.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The one, the only, Chris Eliopoulos. Hello,
who?
Christopher.
Who? You. Who? Who are you guys again?
Otherwise known as Ink Man.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, I've been working on my book, Inking Up a Storm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got deadlines, and so he's
squeezed to his elbows into his busy schedule, huh?
Yeah. So since I'm back, I'll give you for tonight's discussion. Tonight's song is Big Shot by Billy Joel on my playlist.
Who do you think? Oh, no, that's something else.
No, that's not. That's,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Big Shot.
Yeah. No, I'm the Big Shot.
I could sing all the words of that song. That was a middle school. You and I were probably both in middle school, Chris, when that came out, huh?
Probably. Yeah.
Before we get to a very interesting show, I will give my tip, and I hope I haven't already given this tip, but it's basically how to afford a Walt Disney World or a Disneyland vacation. My suggestion is that rob a bank, sell a kidney. my suggestion is to think about how long you're going to stay and when you're going to stay, how many days and when you're going to go. So, and you should make your reservation at least that amount of time in months. For instance, if you are planning to go to Walt Disney World for 5 days, you should not make your reservation any closer than 5 months prior to your trip. Why? Because what I am suggesting for this tip is every month you pay another night's stay so that when the time comes for your vacation, it is all paid up. So when you arrive to check in, you're paid up. If you're staying for 7 days, then make your reservation at least 7 months ahead. And every month, make a payment that equates to a night. So that is my tip.
Wow.
Have I said that before?
I don't think you have said that before.
That's good.
Wow, but the only caveat is if you wait, then you may not get the restaurant reservation.
That is true. That is true. So just
that, but I guess you could book it.
I don't think reservations at restaurants are that much of a problem, except maybe for food and wine.
Okay.
You know, so. Anyways, we are going to go a little bit off the track tonight because we really want to talk about Chris's experience.
Chris's amazing adventures.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get a chance to find out what life in the fast lane is, and so we're going to
another song.
Wrong song.
Chris was
surely makes
Chris
you lose your mind.
Was a guest recently, a guest on Late Night with
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers.
Who's from where?
Who's
again?
From
New Hampshire?
Bedford, New Hampshire.
Bedford.
So we want to.
Sarah Silverman.
We're going to ask Chris to take us through that day.
Yeah.
And Michelle and I are going to hopefully ask the questions that you guys listening would ask Chris if you had a chance, and find out what it's like to be in the green room and be on national television and all that kind of stuff. So,
meet
Chris,
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, right?
Kutcher. Kutcher.
So, Chris, can you, like, I think it would be probably easiest for you to recall everything if you just walk us through the entire day from the moment you woke up to, you know, the time you left.
Well, I actually have a pre-question.
Okay.
You get asked to go on a national TV show. Mm-hmm. Do you freak out?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Do you say, oh, I'm excited, or you say, oh, I'm excited, and then you think, oh, my goodness, what?
I think I said, holy cow, but the cow is not the word I said.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, you know, well, here's the thing. So I've been friendly with the executive producer of the show. We've had conversations, and he's a sweet guy. His name is Mike Shoemaker, and God, he used to be the producer on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
And then he moved over to Late Night when Jimmy Fallon took over, and then stayed on with Seth when Fallon went on to The Tonight Show. And he's such a sweet guy. He's got twin boys as well. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and so we've gone back and forth a little bit. And I think I just said – I sent him – we were on Twitter together, whatever. I sent him a note just saying – because I sent him stuff, you know, whatever. And I just said – hey, we got a couple books coming out. Any way we can promote? Thinking that, you know, they would have Brad on because he's the guy.
Right.
And so he was like, so pitch me. What would you do if you came on the show? And I'm like, well, me? And I just said, well, I guess if I came on, I would just teach Seth how to draw. And he goes, I love it. And it was like, I don't know, a few hours later, my publicist sends me a message. He says, great news. Late Night with Seth Meyers wants to have you come on. And they were totally surprised. They were like totally blown away. They were like, how did this happen? And I was sort of like, yeah, I know. And
maybe you got to discount that month from your publicist, right?
Yeah, you know.
For doing the work.
Well, she works for the publishers themselves. So
got it.
So, yeah, so I was kind of like, oh, this is awesome. And then I went, oh, no. Like, I have to go on.
What do I say?
Yeah, well, we actually had to do a whole thing because,
wow,
you know, you gotta, you know, I mean, I can't just go on there like in, you know, my work attire, which is, you know, sweats and a t-shirt or something like that. So, you know, we had to go out and buy an outfit and prepare.
By we mean who?
My wife.
Okay.
Look, I have no style. She was just like, all right, this looks good. Like, you know, wow. We had to kind of do the whole thing. So, so we did that and then as the date moved up, actually, they had asked a while ago, and I was originally going to go on the end of August, and then they moved it back until so they would it would coincide with the first day of the New York Comic Con.
Oh, nice.
So I guess they're comic book fans. Like Mike and Seth are both big comic book fans.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny. I met Seth years ago. We worked on a Spider-Man comic together, and I was at the New York Comic Con, like, I think in 2009, and they had asked us to save a couple of seats. I was on the panel and talking about a new book I was writing, and then they were going to bring them up, so it was Seth and Bill Hader, and so they came on stage.
Oh, my God!
At the time, they were on Saturday Night Live. I wasn't watching Saturday Night Live at that time, so I didn't know who they were, but, you know, I said hello, it was nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we laughed about it, and then I worked with them, and it was like, oh, that's great, they're great guys. And then last year at New York Comic Con, I was away from the show, and my friend Eric was at my table, and the two of them came up to say hello to me. And Eric's like, two guys came looking for you. I don't know who they were, but they were asking about you. And then I get a text from Mike saying, we came to your table, but you weren't there. So they're really sweet guys. They're really into comic books, and I figured they wanted us to talk about New York Comic Con or something like that, but which we never did. So as it approached, we about a week before I went on, one of the producers from the show called me up to just discuss. Basically, it's called a pre-interview, and they ask you, what do you want to talk about and what's interesting? And they do a lot of research on you. It was interesting. He brought up a lot of stuff that I was like, wow, how'd you know that? And so
you can't post that stuff on Facebook and not have it come back to haunt you. So
yeah, I don't know. Well, it's Facebook. It's everywhere. It's Wikipedia. It's, you know, you if you Google me, there's like a billion hits. It's like insane. So we chatted about, huh?
Same with me.
I know. All of us, especially Scopa. But so we discussed the things we talked about, what we were planning to do, and it went well. It was fine. You know, we had a bunch of stuff that we could talk about. And
did they tell you at that point, Chris, that you are going to speak for – you have a 10-minute window or
– they didn't give me a time frame mm-hmm. per se. They just kind of were like, okay, you're going to be the third segment of the night, and then you'll be there with Seth for the close.
Okay.
So, which is like after the last commercial break, he just says goodnight, and they wanted me to draw like a little picture of Seth. Actually, they told us as I was in the green room, like, I don't know, 20 minutes beforehand, they were like, hey, at the end, can you draw Seth? Like in DC? I was like, huh? And, so I was like, well, I'll just draw him as a little kid character, but,
Did you really? I didn't see that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right
I missed it.
Yeah, we saw it.
Oh, okay.
But cool. Yeah, so they got me prepared. They figured out what they wanted to talk about, and then finally the day of arrived. And I went for a run. I ran 4 miles just to kind of.
There's the running connection. Thank
there
you.
It is. So, well, you know what it is? It's running does kind of soothe you and sort of, you know, relax you and
clears your head.
Yeah, and so it was kind of a, you know, just a thing I decided to do. I went for a run, and then what's great, you know, I mean, it's a different world. They sent a car, and I asked ahead of time. I figured this was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so I wanted my wife, my kids, our niece who's staying with us to come along, and then it was like my agent and our publicist, and so...
So how far do you live from New York City? About an hour, right?
By car, it's about 40 minutes, 45 mm-hmm. minutes. Mm-hmm. And, so, which is great. I mean, they send a truck for us, like, cause we've got a whole crew. And then I had my friend Eric who was staying with me. So he was in town. So I had to take him as well.
Yet Mike, I don't remember receiving an invitation.
You weren't in town, were you? Were you in New York?
If I had known, I would have been invited.
He has to check your schedule.
Waiting for the invitation. This sounds familiar, like something that happened on another podcast. Yeah, next time. Yeah,
next time. So yeah, so it was crazy. So like they drive us in, and then you arrive, and when you get to the door, so you go. I mean, it's like you go to 30 Rock. You're going to 30 Rockefeller Center. And you pull up, and there's the page and a security guy.
Like right out front waiting for you?
Right out front waiting for you. Yeah, literally it was like that. And they're like checking everybody in, making sure everybody's in. They walked us in, and it was almost like it was bizarre. Like people, they were like kind of pushing, not pushing people out of the way, but like kind of steering everybody away from us. And they took us right up.
You
like
mean
we didn't
the fans who were trying to rip your clothes off?
Yeah, those guys, all those people, all that one person. No, so it was kind of like surreal. Like we were just like marched right up to, you know, the eighth floor, and boom, out we come. We're at the studios, and so it was kind of weird. It was a surreal kind of thing. You know, they check you in, and you know, do you need anything? They stick you in a green room, which is not a huge room, but you know, they've got like food and beverages all in every single green room. Like so, there's cookie, and then they give you gifts, so there's a bunch of gifts waiting for you right there.
Such as? I'm never going to be on the show, so I need to know these things.
So they give you, there's a whole bunch of like protein bars and candy, and they give you like a box of cookies and pastries and stuff
all
like
the
that.
The boys must have went crazy.
Everybody was eating but me. Like, my kids, my friend Eric, like, they were all just, like, everybody was chowing down, you know, and I'm sitting there going, can I have some water? Like, anything? So, you know, and then they have, like, a refrigerator in each room, which is stocked with, you know, everything you could think about. And then outside the green room is, like, this almost like a living room area. And it's got a big giant TV on the wall. And a lot of the crew and the behind-the-scenes people will watch the show from there. So, like, the show, anything that's on the show, like, if the cameras are running, it appears in each green room on a TV and in this big room. So everybody can see what's going on. And so they can go into that big giant room, and there was candy. And then eventually, like, at, like, I don't know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, they put out the alcohol. It was like, oh, dear. So they put out, like, everything you want, like a wet bar out there.
So wait a second. So what time are you filming? Are you filming after 8 o'clock, or this is after the show?
Yeah, they shot two shows on the same day.
Okay.
So so the Wednesday show was being shot earlier, but I had to come in super early. I had to be there at 4:30 to do a run-through, because they had to block out the setup so they could show, you know, where we would stand to draw and where the cameras would have to be. So they are really professional. I mean you forget, like, these guys are, like, absolutely professional, and that's why it looks so good. It's like they're always prepared. And so I had gone in, and then we hung out for a little bit waiting, because Seth was running through his monologue, practicing the monologue ahead of time. So we're, like, basically watching him do the bit that he was going to do that night. And so
with no audience,
they would let a few people in the back, like, into the audience, just a couple people.
It's probably test the material.
Yeah, just test it and see if they get a laugh out of it. And then, you know, I mean, he wasn't even shaved. He was just in, like, sweats, like a sweat jacket and stuff like that. And as he did that, we kind of went over things a little bit. And then they took me out there. They took me right onto the stage, which is kind of a surreal experience. You know, you look on the TV and you see all the, you know, everything looks so big on TV, and it was like the entrance from the point of entrance to his desk is like five steps.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, wow, we're like, it's right there. It's not like a big giant thing.
I was just gonna ask that.
Yeah, the audience is probably not, I'd probably say about 100 people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a big studio. So we went out there and we kind of blocked it out and ran through it a little bit. I showed them what I was going to be drawing, and we kind of sort of made a list and said, okay, we don't know how long each one was going to take. That's what we had to kind of figure out, like, how long would it take me to show him and time it out a little bit. And so we had three that we were going to do, and then a fourth in our pocket just in case we, you know, had extra time.
Three drawings.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Chris, let me just ask you this. I'm imagining, even when you're blocking it out, that there are lighting people and sound people and just people, tour groups coming through, and you're just one of the many, many things that are going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not tour groups or anything. Like, they don't really let anybody into the studio uninvited, I guess. And so there were camera guys, there were, you know, the sound guys. Like, I had to get, like, you know, the lavalier mic on and to go out there. And, you know, and they had, like, the producers there, and they were kind of staging it and figuring out how to do it. And what's interesting is that we went through it, and then I didn't realize that everybody in the back room was watching me do this. So I got back there, and they're like, oh, yeah, this, you know, look at this and look at that, look, you know, watch this. And I'm like, gee, great, thanks, everybody. Like, everybody's trying to give me tips, and I'm like, you know, all right, please don't make me nervous.
So the producer was standing in for Seth?
For Seth.
And okay.
And so I just kind of show him what I was going to draw. And then it didn't last that long. It was kind of pretty quick, but we were going to finish up, and then it was like, okay, we had dinner reservations downstairs. So, like, in the restaurant that's we literally looked out onto the skating rink. So, you know, at Rockefeller Center, they have the skating rink with that big gold statue out there. And so we, like, literally were, like, staring at the statue as we were having dinner. But we had to wait because they said, hang out a little bit because Seth's going to come through and say hello. I'm like, okay. So he eventually came through. We talked a little bit, said hello to the family, which was sweet.
You took told some him pictures. Your good friends are from New Hampshire.
I did, and luckily enough, he didn't kick me out.
That was the danger. That was risky, Chris.
So. I know. So I was pushing my luck on that one. But yeah, so he swung by and said hello, and we kind of caught up. I was like, yeah, we've met before. We worked together. He's like, I know. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. So I actually brought my copy of the comic with me, and I was just kind of like, because I told the producer on the pre-interview that we had worked together, and he didn't know that. And I said, I have the comic book. He goes, can you bring it with you? I'm like, sure. And so when I had it with me, I'm like, oh, I've got this. And he goes, oh, do you want me to sign it? And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it wasn't like I was looking for a signature, because I'm not really one of those people. But he was like, no, I'll sign it. And I was like, oh, okay. But we wound up never using it for the show anyway. But and it was funny, because I talked to some of the crew people, and I was telling them that we worked on the comic together. And like, oh, we know. He doesn't stop talking about that comic. So I guess he's very proud that he wrote a comic book, a Spider-Man comic. So
he wrote the whole issue?
Him and Bill Hader did the issue. Wow. They wrote the issue. Yeah. So, and I lettered it. So we, you know, technically worked together before. So
cool.
Yeah. So then we did our run through. It was interesting. So my friend Eric, who was with me, was going off to dinner with here's name dropping again. He went off to dinner with Robert Kirkman, who created The Walking Dead.
Yes. You mentioned him on the show.
I did. Well, I think that's why he was on my mind, because Eric had gone off to see him. And yeah. So it was funny. I said, well, if he wants to come back up, I'm sure they would let him in. And they were kind of – he had like a bunch of people with him. So he's like, I can't. Because I know Robert too. But so we went to dinner. And it was funny. I was fine at dinner until my wife kept saying, don't be nervous, don't be nervous, don't be nervous. And that made me nervous. Like, oh, as soon as she started saying, don't be nervous, that's when I got nervous. So we finished up dinner. Actually, I want to say before we left for dinner, Ted Danson walked in. So he was on the previous show. So very nice, said hello, and kind of he went into his
room. Just walked into the green room?
Yeah, it was just like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good, how are you? Oh. And, you know, because I guess, whatever. I mean, I guess he was trying to be nice. He didn't know who anybody is.
That's nice.
And then, yeah, so he went into his room, and then we were like, all right, let's get going, because they were going to shoot that show, the Wednesday night show.
You know he runs a bar in Boston, right?
I've been there once.
Okay. Yes, you have.
With some people I know.
Yeah.
So after we did that, we went to dinner. Like I said, we, you know, hung out there. And it was funny, too, because the waits, they were just taking so long to get our dinner. And everybody's starting to get nervous. Like, we're not going to get back in time. We're not going to get back in time. And I'm like, fine. I don't care. But we got there in plenty of time. I mean, we got up there. It was just like hanging out for a while. I sat and talked to some of the band people. And then, you know, we were talking to the producers. And we kind of went over things. And I said, you know, I told them my little story. I said, our pitch for the series is that we're tired of kids looking at loudmouth athletes and reality TV stars as heroes, because that's just fame. That's not being a hero. And they had two loudmouth athletes on the show. So I was like...
From the Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox.
Formerly.
Cincinnati Reds. But yeah, so I was like, and he goes, well, how about we just have Seth kind of lead in with that like reality stars thing, and then, you know, whatever, you can respond. I'm like, that's fine. So... we did that walkthrough. It was fine. And then we were like, and then the executive producer came up, and I was like, oh, Mike. And we kind of were chatting for a while, introduced him to the family. And he's such a sweet guy, like I said. And we were talking, and like, for some reason, he was like, oh, you know, Saturday Night Live shoots right next door. I'm like, really? And, by this point, my friend Eric had come back, and we were kind of waiting around, and he's like, you want to go see it? And I'm like, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'd
so,
just rather stay in this room.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit in this little room having, you know, power bars and diet Dr. Pepper. But so I was like, yeah. So the whole family came along, and my friend Eric and you know, everybody kind of came, and we went over to, and there was like nobody in there, and everything was kind of just piled up in places, and there was like, you know, the cameras were just like lying around, and you know, like the news desk was kind of just in a corner, covered over with tarp.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, like, this is, like, a thing. Like, it's not, you know, just happens like magic on TV, but you know, there's so much work behind the scenes, and so we kind of walked around a little bit and took pictures, and that was really cool.
That concludes part one of our discussion with Chris Aliopoulos on what it's like to be on late night television. Still to come is the show itself, so please join us in episode 425 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast to hear more as to how the rest of the day and night went. So, for Michelle Scrivener-McLean and for Chris Aliopoulos, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.